Oh, this is the song that gets stuck in a moment, stuck in my head.
Oh, forever.
This song gets stuck in a moment, and you just can't get out of it. All right, so
that is in your head forever. Oh.
So I've got the brand new Cy Young Award odds. We're just talking Dodgers.
Yep.
Guess who is the favorite now for the Cy Young Award?
Max Scherzer.
Scherzer. Yep.
Boom.
Vegas has him at 5-4. Corbin Burns is second from the Brewers, 2-1. Walker Buehler is third at 11-5. By the way, no mention in the top six of Julio Urias, who deserves to be near the top of it.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah, I don't know why he's not there. Have we changed our mind? I have changed my mind. I think in a one-game playoff, I'm going with Scherzer, Greg.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to admit that I'm wrong, but I was wrong. It's Max Scherzer.
It is Scherzer. Let's not tell Ireland because
no.
He was all over us about our choice. Although it will come up again. He's back on Thursday. It'll come up again.
And he's going to say, you two idiots, I was telling you.
I was telling you all along.
Right now, caller number 7 wins a pair of those tickets.
Old choking Ireland. Choking Ireland. All right, so Momo. This has risen again. This idea has risen again. Adam Silver is proposing this mid-season tournament the way they do in soccer, with every player on the team winning $1 million if they win the tournament. What odds does this idea have of becoming a reality, and what has to happen for it to actually go?
So here's what I think has to happen. This is all about money. The WNBA did something like this. They created something called the Commissioner's Cup, and it was a mid-season tournament that they sold broadcast rights to separately to, I think Amazon got those, and it was separate from the ESPN and CBS deals that they have. So if they can make enough money on it and they sell it to the Players Association, it's like, hey guys, I know you may not really want to do this, but we can make an extra $10 billion. Yeah, sure, they'll do it.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it's literally, you just have to convince the players that you can make a lot of money selling this off separately to a streaming service or broadcast partner or whatever it is. If it's just part, so the idea is that I think the current deal is $24 billion.
Right.
Is that, I think the some of the numbers I've heard are, you know, all over the map. It's from 50 billion to 75, 100. Who knows to go for in like 3 or 4 years? I can't really predict streaming rights for sports broadcasts. I mean, the NFL just did a
They're
giant,
getting into
massive
it. You see who's the big bidder now for Sunday Ticket is Amazon.
Right. And that's a DirecTV thing. And Amazon,
Hey, Momo, I want you to hang up and dial back in. Hang up and dial back in.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, we're having some problems
here.
We
just fixed her internet. We just went through a whole thing where she called before the show, and we tested it out, and she got new internet.
Is she at her mom and dad's house?
No, she's at home.
She's at home. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, and but the problem is that she actually had somebody come out and fix her internet. And then we tested, and everything was great. Yeah, you're back now, but this is what we did before the show, right, Momo?
Yeah, we did it. I called Greg. I said, let's test.
Okay, sounds better already.
Yeah. Hang up. You know, most of the time, you just turn it off and turn it on. Works. Yeah.
Is a million... Does a...
Dude!
Excuse me. That just slipped out. So, here's my question. Does $1 million mean anything to NBA? I mean, it's a crazy amount of money, right? I mean, for any of us, $1 million is like $1 million.
$1 million.
But to a player, you know, to LeBron James or to Anthony Davis or to Russell Westbrook or to Steph Curry or to Kevin Durant, to those guys, is $1 million a big deal? Is it enough to move the needle for them?
I don't think it is for the superstars, but if you said to them, hey, we'll do this instead of the All-Star game, you might find some takers.
Instead of the All-Star game?
Yeah, because there's a little dead period in the middle of the season with the All-Star break, and players really like having that week off. The Commissioner's Cup is just a super random thing. that they're trying to borrow from European soccer, which has all these different things, FA Cup, Champions Cup, yada, yada, yada. I don't really know what they all are, but they seem to do well and make money. And over time, if people get into them, they can be very lucrative. And a lot of what the NBA lacks. Okay. So the NFL, if you want to get it, I'm going to get a little bit into the weeds, not too.
Okay.
Not
just,
too
a
into
little,
the weeds,
just a little, just a little into the weeds.
Okay. So one of the reasons the NFL is so popular is that they, all of their games are on, most of their games are on Sundays, right? So when you have a special game on Mondays, then you can sell that separately. When you have a special game on Sunday night, you can sell those rights separately. And then you have a, now you have a special game on Thursday nights. All of those are sold separately because they're the special game and you have nothing competing against you. The NBA does not have anything like that. There's no day of the week. There's no time of the week where it's the only game that's on. So you can't sell any of those special deals, right? Like you're just doing a deal with just ESPN and Turner, and it's going to be, they broadcast and they carve out, you know, Turner has Thursday sure. nights and ESPN has Wednesday nights, but it's not like the special game. And it's the only game that's on. It's a game of the week, whatever you want to call it. Even the great games that's on, a lot of times the Sunday afternoon game, the 12:30 Sunday afternoon is seen as the better game.
Right.
But oftentimes there's other games going on at that same time on sure. In other markets. Yeah. So there's nothing exclusive. And people like to pay more for exclusivity. So I think that's what the whole appeal of this tournament is that you'd have a couple weeks in the middle of the year where you'd have this tournament and it's exclusive. And you can sell that separately for a whole bunch of money to whatever broadcast network, whether it's streaming or terrestrial. Okay, so ESPN, Turner, that's traditional TV and
traditional
Amazon, Netflix,
or,
Apple, whatever.
Or, Amazon,
that's streaming.
Right.
Okay, so you can sell that off separately. So let's say you can get $75 million from ESPN Turner,
but
and then
the
you can make another
piece of that.
Yeah, they get 50-50 or 51-49. So,
oh, so that's significant.
Yeah. So if you can create something that's worth, you literally are creating a tournament that's worth, let's just say $5 billion. Let's say it's five. Well. That's a lot of money. $5 billion is a lot of money.
That'll drive salaries, right?
Every year. You split that. Okay, let's just say it's 50-50. So $2.5 billion goes to the players. $2.5 billion goes to the owners.
Yep.
Split
so
30
makes
ways.
Makes sense.
Still worth it.
I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be fun. It'd be fun to see a different team win a mid-season tournament in a season where, you know, one and done. Upsets are possible, all that stuff. It would be actually kind of fun. All right, so yesterday, a guy named Jeremiah Witten, I've been saying we need a Rams song. We need a Rams song for the year. And Jeremiah Witten did one. And by the way, I got an email from him. He's a special ed teacher from San Diego. So he's a listener, huge Rams fan like me. And he took the song that he did yesterday, which was kind of all about me, which I appreciate a lot. And he turned it into a Rams anthem. So here we go. Here is Jeremiah Witten. Put your Rams hands up. I like it. I think it's actually really good.
Yeah, I think it's good. You know, I think also the background with the violins or cello or whatever that is.
Yeah.
It feels aspirational to me. I like that. It feels sort of aspirational.
I think when we come back, I want to play the Raiders music and the Rams music, because I think this can be anthem-y. I think this can actually be anthem-y. Jeremiah Witten,
it's there.
Great
it's
job.
Going there. Yeah, it's going. I mean, nothing will ever top the autumn wind. I mean, when we get the drum line.
Yeah, blah, blah,
there
blah,
it is.
Blah, blah, blah. There it is. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Home of the Rams, 710 ESPN. By the way, I'll throw this out there, too. All right, so USC fired Clay Helton yesterday. Who is the great white whale for new head coach? Like, who's the dream guy? Who's the guy that if you threw everything away and said, that's the guy that we could possibly get that could just reestablish the Trojans as the West Coast powerhouse, as the college football playoff team that we should be? 877-710-ESPN. This is the dream. Who is the great white whale for new head coach at USC? Mason Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I want to get it out for next baseball season. I got to find a publisher.
That's good.
I want to get it out for next baseball season.
Yeah, I started a novel once. I started it. I didn't finish. Like, I did this whole series when I was at the Daily News, and I covered the Birmingham High School football team.
Right.
And I really had a thing for Friday Night Lights back in the day.
Sure.
So I was just going to write my version of Friday Night Lights. And so I got about 10 chapters in. It was going good. But I just ran out of steam. So I don't
ran
know how
out of
you...
steam.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's about 100 pages. It's
just
pretty
gotta
good.
Sit down and make myself write every day. Sit down, make myself write.
1 hour a day, is that what you do?
Yeah, right after the show, 1 hour before Budayeska.
What's the protagonist's name?
the protagonist's name is a bit up for grabs.
Ooh,
because Juan does not like the name that I'm currently using because it's too similar to Mashansky. It needs to be a more generic name as opposed to a Polish name. So
right.
The name of the protagonist is not yet decided.
Is there an antagonist?
No.
No,
I don't want to say anymore. I don't want to spoil it. Let's go to Jesus in Las Vegas. Jesus, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Driving back home. The game was so amazing. My voice is bad. What can I say, man?
So you were at Allegiant Stadium last night. Describe the Allegiant Stadium experience.
Amazing. Aretha Franklin opening up with the anthem. I couldn't get off my seat. The band, Ice Cube, Too Short. Amazing. The food is amazing at the stadium. The exiting was amazing. Getting back to my hotel, it was just amazing. I'm a season ticket holder in both places.
So you also hold season tickets to SoFi?
I do, but I'm a little bit disappointed in SoFi, but it's still beautiful because of the food. But I haven't been to a regular season, which I'll be going to against the Chargers. I'm an NFL fan. I root for all teams, but I love my Raiders since back in the 80s, Lakers, yep. Dodgers. I love them.
All right. Hey, good. Hey, Zeus. Thank you for the phone call. Thank you for the phone call. So he has season tickets to both SoFi and Allegiant Stadium.
I understand this. I'm telling you. Ask him how old he is. How old are you?
He's gone.
Is he gone? He's gone.
Yeah,
right.
Jesus is gone.
I would venture to guess that he is somewhere between 35 and 50 because that's our demo. And we all that age group grew up in L.A. when the Rams and Raiders were here. You're here to like.
Here's what I want to point
out.
At
the same time.
Just to be clear. Monday night, good football game, Raiders. This is the home of the Rams. This is the home of the Los Angeles Rams. And as I talked up yesterday, SoFi Stadium for me was an incredible experience. I should ask Jesus what he was disappointed in. I can't imagine what they would be, because it is spectacular. And, Greg, you were making fun of me yesterday saying, I said it was one of the great nights I have had in L.A. sports. And you were mocking me about that.
No, I wasn't mocking, but first, how many pages are in your book?
So far, 200.
Okay, very nice. All right, no, I wasn't mocking you for it. I was just saying it was just a little bit of hyperbole.
It's not hyperbole.
I mean, just a little bit. Because you had been through so many things here in L.A. You've been to a lot here, Mace. Like, that's a good thing.
The opening of this stadium. I mean, I don't think people realize this is where the Super Bowl is going to be played. This is where the Olympics are going to have their opening and closing ceremonies. This is where they're going to play World Cup games. That was a historic night for Los Angeles, the opening of SoFi Stadium, and to be there after all that wait that I had.
It's like your bar mitzvah. It's like your kid's bar mitzvah. I get it. It's like you went to Hebrew school for all these years, you went to training, and then finally it's bar mitzvah day. I get it. You went to all these games. You bought the seat licenses. Oh, is that the Wheel of Questions?
Is that the Wheel of Questions?
How many chapters in your book?
You can't just keep spinning the Wheel of Questions for me? They're short chapters. They're short chapters. I write like Dan Brown. Very short chapters.
I like it. You write, well, I mean, you're the original too long didn't read.
What's the question now?
How many characters are there in the book?
There are 7 significant characters. Oh, okay, that's enough. I'm not giving away the book on Wheel of Questions.
What's the era of these of this book?
Present day.
Okay.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. And by the way, Wheel of Questions is brought to you. Clever way of doing it. Wheel of Questions is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you've got a car just sitting around waiting to be used, go to Puente Hills Toyota. They've got you covered. All right, there you go. There's your Wheel of Questions. That's a really weird way to do it, but we did get it in. We were talking about interesting proposal stories a little while ago. Let's go to Brian in Canoga Park. Brian, you're on 710. Hey, man. Hey, Brian. I think we lost Brian. Let's go to Manny. No, I don't want to talk to Manny. Josh, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
I'm driving my kid home from school.
Yeah. Your job in the house?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Good.
So,
good dad.
I have a great proposal story for you guys real quick.
Okay.
I took my pregnant then-girlfriend to Europe. We walked around Paris for an entire day. She was 7 months pregnant. She hated me. We were trying to find the best place. We ended up in kind of like a bad neighborhood. They called it the Shadows of Paris, where they had crazy things going on. We ended up going the typical place and walking around the Eiffel Tower. And when she was super upset with me, she was ready to throw her shoes at me because her feet were killing her, 7 months pregnant. I proposed to her, and we're happily married now.
Great. How long have you been married, man?
We just got 3 years.
Congratulations.
Still plenty of time for her to hate me.
I can't imagine a cooler place to issue a proposal than the Eiffel Tower. That's really cool, man. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, that would be amazing. Have you been to the Eiffel Tower, right, Mom?
Yeah, you know what's funny? It's way shorter than you think.
It's not as tall as you think.
Yeah. It looks really big in the photos, and then you get there, you're like, oh.
Do you know that
5-6 stories,
Here's a total aside. So across the river from the Eiffel Tower, I think it's the river, right? What river?
The Seine.
The Seine, right. Across the river, there is, the French gave us the Statue of Liberty. So across the Seine from the Eiffel Tower, they've got just the hand holding the torch, a great big hand holding the torch, like a smaller version of the Statue of Liberty. And that is right above the tunnel. I don't want to get dark here, but that's right above the tunnel where Lady Di went into and actually died. And so that's become
it.
Sort of the monument for that. And I was in Paris and happened to wander, me and my friend Elise were wandering around, and we just happened on this thing, and it happened to be on the anniversary, and there were photos and flowers and candles. And so it's sort of the de facto commemoration of Lady Diana.
Wow.
Apparently there's a really good movie coming out about her starring Kristen Stewart.
Oh, I've heard. She's going to win like some awards for that,
isn't
she?
Yeah, she's going to win some awards, exactly. All right, coming up next for you. You saw the cat, right? You know the cat story.
I'm terrorized by this video.
Okay, so the cat in Miami that hung from the rafters, we actually have Frank Caliendo calling that, describing the moments for that cat. Coming up next, Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thank you, Matthew Stafford, soon to be most valuable player in the National Football League. Felt nothing but good about what happened Sunday night at SoFi Stadium. Interesting schedule. You go to Indianapolis. I've not seen the point spread yet. Then Tampa Bay at home. Tom Brady versus Matthew Stafford. Last year, remember, we beat Tampa in Tampa. So, Momo's in for John. I got an email. You can always email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. Hey, Mace, why don't you ask Key about how he feels about Carr and Stafford? According to Key, they're very comparable, meaning the same guy. Stats very comparable. I'll tell you what. Key, I love Key. Fantastic guy. Got to see him at the golf tournament last week. Love him. All consider him to be a very good friend. Could not disagree with him more on this. I mean, what I saw from Matthew Stafford was great big chunk plays on Sunday night. I saw him, you know, hit the bomb to Van Jefferson. I saw him hit the bomb to Cooper Kupp. He is throwing the ball downfield. That's not the same thing as I see from Derek Carr, who's a little bit more dink and dunk.
Well, Derek Carr can throw the deep ball. Like he won the game last night.
Yeah, broken coverage. He did hit that guy. You're right.
He did hit him, but I feel I actually think the difference between him feels like more touch. It just feels like touch or feel for the game or whatever it is. Like not throwing it too hard, not throwing it behind your hitting him in stride. Like it just feels like Stafford has that quality of, you know, poise under pressure. Like I haven't seen him though in an NFC Championship game. I haven't seen him under that kind of duress.
He's only been in the playoffs three times. Now, the beautiful thing about this, and somebody called in and said, yeah, Derek Carr, it was like preseason last night because he didn't play during the preseason. That's why he had a rough first half. Look, Matthew Stafford didn't play during the preseason. Look where he is. Look at the development he's already got. Look at the rapport he's already got with guys like Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson and Robert Woods and Tyler Higbee. Look at that. Look at the connection he's got with Sean McVay, who I still think is like the great offensive mind in the National Football League. Look at the way they're communicating. Look at the way McVay trusts Matthew Stafford.
You know, do you see their body language on the sidelines? They're like bros, man.
They are. They are.
They're like hanging out. I mean, how much older is McVay than Stafford? I feel like
or vice versa.
Yeah.
Actually, they're approximately the same age, aren't they? Look that up, Greg. Are they the same age? McVay, I think actually McVay may be younger than Matthew Stafford.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I think it's possible that he's younger. So, Key's got some weird axe to grind with the Rams. That's my opinion.
McVay is 35 and Matthew Stafford is 33.
Okay, there you go. 35 and 33. They're contemporaries, right? They are. They're buddies. They're bros. I think that's one of the reasons why we saw what we did last night. And they're going to get better. All right, so if you were watching or seen this highlight, it's all over social media. There was a cat somehow in Hard Rock Stadium for the Miami Hurricanes game this weekend. And the cat got hung up on the upper deck of the stadium and was kind of like stuck there trying to hang on for dear life. And we've all seen the video. I've not heard the actual play-by-play, but what I have heard is Frank Caliendo describing that. Jorge, do you have that?
Pat, you see that up there?
Sure do.
I mean, what do you think that is?
Looks like a cat.
What do you think he's doing up there, Pat? I mean, usually a cat isn't hanging from a roof like that.
Like a cat on a hot tin roof.
That's how I'm feeling right now, Pat.
Dangling, spinning.
You ever see one of those Cirque du Soleil shows, Pat? I mean, this looks a lot like one of those right now, except it's a cat.
He's falling to the five. They caught him.
This is unreal, Pat.
He's holding him up like Simba, the Lion King.
Cingonia, Mama Gigi Baba. How many lives do you think this cat's got left, Pat?
What do you mean?
I feel like he's used a bunch of them up already if he's doing stuff like this.
There you go. There's a little Pat Summerall and John Madden. For you kids out there, they were the voice of the biggest voices for NFL football for two decades.
Oh, kids know Madden because of the video games.
Oh, right. Yeah, Madden. Yeah, of course they know
Come
Madden.
Come on, are you tripping?
Yeah. Of course they know Madden. They may not know Summerall, but they know Madden. You're right.
Yeah.
Frank Caliendo still does the best Madden out there. So Momo,
yeah.
You threw in the towel a little bit earlier on the Dodgers.
I'm just so – every time I look up, the Giants are winning up. They're 5-1. The Dodger game hadn't even started.
You're having a very, very negative day, and I'm concerned about you. What went wrong this morning? Like what?
Nothing went wrong. I'm just in a mood. I'm just very decisive today.
You don't like the Mannings. You don't like Derek Carr. You don't think the Dodgers can win the division.
Hey, I thought I was hosting with Mason today.
What if I told you?
What if I told you I got up on the wrong side of the bed?
No, I didn't. I was just in a very decisive, like, task. I was organizing my kitchen, and I was in a very, like, that can go. I never use it. Donate. That can go. Get rid of that. I was in that mood. But I'm telling you, like, I don't dislike the Mannings. I think they're great. I just think I need a little different format. Like, there's no sound, and they're talking over the game, and I want to know what's happening in the game. And it's all quiet, and then it doesn't seem like they know when to come in from the breaks, and I don't know.
I think it is a worthy experiment. Bergman, yes. You loved it, right?
Yeah,
I
really liked it. I really liked the second half better than the first half. The first half was just funny because there were so many technical things that were going wrong. Ray Lewis was in the middle of a story, and they just went to break. Like, because they didn't know when their break time was, so it just went to commercial in the middle of Ray Lewis telling a story. It was awesome. Like, that was funny, but when it actually got to the second half and they were talking about actual football and talking about it was interesting and it was fun.
Here's my two production notes. I would have some Nat sound, some natural sound, so I can hear them, feel the game, like the excitement of the game, and I would have a play-by-play guy or gal there with them so that people can keep up with the game and make that person pretty minor. Like, they don't have to be loud and over the top with all the play-by-play, but just need a little basics.
So I didn't watch this. So what it sounds like, it's like detail, but live. Is that what you guys are saying?
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of like really, really, it's what we would describe as in the weeds, right? If you're a hardcore NFL fan and you want to know, you know, what play is run or what play is coming up or, you know, whatever that is, which linebacker made a big, all that stuff you get from the Mannings. You get that stuff from, you know, Steve Levy and Lou Riddick and Brian Griese, but it's in a traditional play-by-play format. This is more like two guys hanging out, watching the game, and talking about it.
So, like, basically, Mace, would you think that it's more like, if you like Tony Romo doing games, you'll kind of like the Mannings better than...
Oh, I can't stand Tony Romo.
I know you don't like him, but this is the type of thing that they were doing. They're kind of predicting what play is coming.
But here's saying, the look difference at this with formation. Romo, okay? So, Romo has a play-by-play person that he works with.
Right.
And I'm watching the game, and Romo's at the game, and he's excited about it, and I can hear the fans, and I can hear the game, and then he comments on what's happening. The Mannings are just like at their house and talking over the game.
So that's kind of like, you know, if it felt like to me, like I was sitting there in the same room as them and they were just talking. And that's
and
what
be
I
like,
wanted.
Hey,
it's
turn
like
the broadcast
like,
up.
It's what it would be like if me and Ireland and Bergman and you did a mega cast of the game.
Right, exactly.
But we would turn the sound up on the game too.
No.
Like, would you just talk over the game the whole time?
Yeah.
Would we be able to do that? Would we be allowed to do that?
I mean,
Monday Night Football belongs to ESPN.
We'd have to talk to Tommy, and Tommy, if you're listening, let me know what you think of this.
That would be super cool to do a megacast.
Do you really think that Ireland will sit there and watch an entire game with us?
No, you, me, and Momo. Ireland will not.
Can Jorge join us?
Yeah, Jorge can join us too.
Here's what I think about the Mannings. It will be really fun when the game is a total blowout, and I don't care about what's happening in the game. Like, it's a blowout, it's 35-7, whatever. And then they're just going to tell stories and yuck it up. And then it'll be super fun if somebody brings some pot brownies. That would be good.
Okay, so let's try to work on this, Greg. I really like this idea. The Mason and Ireland Monday night megacast.
Ooh,
we can do it on on Instagram Live. We can do it on all our platforms on Twitter so that you can have us on your computer while you're watching the game.
Well, Jorge, week 10, Rams at 49ers, Monday night.
We're not waiting to week 10.
Oh, but then Jorge comes in because it's a 49er
game.
Well,
we need time to set it up anyway, so maybe it'll take
We don't
that
need
long.
10 weeks
well,
to
you
set
never
it
know
up.
You never know. But I'm down to do it.
Speaking of which, starting Monday, it's Million Dollar Mondays. They are here. Million
dollars. Wow.
Every Monday, you get a chance to win Rams tickets, and if you win, you get a shot at $1 million.
$1 million
will give us their prediction of the two Super Bowl teams and the final score. If you nail that, you get $1 million. So it starts on Monday, and it's going to happen on Travis and Sliwa. It's going to happen on Mason and Ireland. It's going to happen on Sedano and Cap. It's going to be all day long. So make sure you're listening on Monday for Million Dollar Mondays. Coming up next for you is Jump Ball. Bergman's going to throw some stuff at us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
By Venice Mace. You can follow him on Twitter, Instagram, at Venice Mace. Greg, I spent money on this sponsorship. What do you got?
All right, so it's not I love this show. It's no secret.
So good. He probably did spend money on the sponsorship.
All right, so it's no secret that the Nets and the Lakers are favorites next year in the NBA. Yes. And it really shouldn't be a surprise. The Lakers and Nets have a combined 79 all-NBA selections on their rosters. The rest of the NBA, the other 30 teams, have 79 combined all-NBA selections. We were deprived of Kobe versus LeBron. Would these two teams not meeting in the finals be the biggest disappointment in NBA history, Mason?
Yeah, you know, I think it would. We're dying to see this matchup, right? I mean, you've got a big three on the East Coast, a big three on the West Coast. I think the Rams have got a chance to be The Lakers have a chance to be unbelievably dynamic with Russell Westbrook. You've got three superstars on the same. They're going to work it out. I think they're going to work it out. I don't think it's a lock, but I think they're going to work it out. And I think if everybody's healthy in Brooklyn, everybody's healthy with the Lakers, I think we're going to see those two teams in the final. It would be a terrible disappointment to not see that matchup.
Greg, no way. The Kobe-LeBron matchup would have been – it's just the same as the Kobe-Jordan matchup. Everybody wanted to see it.
But we didn't get it.
We never got it. And that to me, is one of the bigger disappointments. These are just super teams that have been thrown together, you know, over the last couple of years. These aren't – like, to Kobe, Michael, LeBron, like, those were all-time greats that you wanted to see in battle in the finals battle, and it never happened. And they also got very close a couple of times. This would just be like, injuries and, you know, these big three. There have been a lot of big threes. I don't think the Lakers' big three is any bigger than the Heat big three or any bigger than the Warriors' big four or whatever. That,
do you really believe
Hampton
that moment?
Five. Yeah.
Really? Westbrook, Davis, LeBron.
Carmelo.
Because
Carmelo's,
it's not
Carmelo's
peak Westbrook,
here.
Davis, LeBron. AD's probably the only guy still in his prime. LeBron's still really
good.
Wait a minute,
Russ
Westbrook's
knocked down.
Still good.
How many triple-doubles did Russ have last year?
Yeah, but he's not
He's
in
a machine.
Prime. He gets a lot of triple-doubles. He's really good. But I wouldn't say he's in his prime. That was his MVP year. That was like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah. There you go.
It's like Pacquiao Mayweather. We wanted that fight forever.
The buzzer means you got to move on, Momo.
All right. Okay.
All right. So Taco Bell, Momo, is currently testing a $5 taco app subscription in Arizona.
What?
Yeah. A $5 taco subscription in Arizona.
Oh, God.
For $5 a month, you can get one free taco a day. Obviously, the idea is for you to order more than just the one taco. If you could have one restaurant, have a $5 app, but you only get one item – So if you wanted sushi, a sushi app, you can only get one hand roll of your choice or something like that. What restaurant would you choose?
So like I could only have something that costs $5.
You only get one thing for free, but then you can still get other stuff from the restaurant. Oh, but right. You get one
free
thing.
In other words, it's a $5 subscription, and then you get one taco a day.
Oh,
what
boy.
Would you want?
For a month.
Yeah, this is it's okay. Well, the right answer should be something very expensive. We should go to Fleming's or something. We should go to some steakhouse. We should go to a sushi. So I'll say Katsuya. Because I could be really... If I paid $5 a month for Katsuya, I could get like spicy tuna rolls or the crunchy tuna, you know, that one.
That's
I get
so
those all
snooty.
The time.
That's so California. That's so snooty, Mom.
But I'm making... That's the best return on investment.
Give me the Popeye subscription. One spicy chicken sandwich a day keeps the doctor away. I would be
Aren't
all
you on a diet
over
right
that.
Now? What are you doing?
Oh. The Popeye spicy chicken sandwich is fantastic. I see everybody else trying to compete. Even Taco Bell is trying to compete with a spicy chicken.
Yeah.
Popeye's is the original, the best, and they deliver. I am all about the Popeyes. Bergman, what about you?
I'm actually with Momo here. I want sushi. I'm getting a spicy albacore hand roll for free, and then I'll order some other stuff. Jorge?
If the McRib was back forever, I'll use it on the McRib.
God, I hate that McRib.
No, you don't.
How the sausage is made. It scares me the way they make those McRibs. I saw it on TikTok.
Okay, TikTok's credible now.
It's like I heard it on Wikipedia.
Whatever happened to your TikTok page? Are you doing it?
I did put one TikTok video up. You can follow me at Venice Mace. I did put one TikTok video up, and I'm going to try the milk crate challenge.
No, please
don't do it. No, Mace, I'm asking you, please don't. You will destroy yourself.
Easy to
no,
me.
It is not easy.
It's not.
Everybody gets hurt and breaks things. You've been through enough.
You've been through enough. All right, what's next?
That's a Mace plant waiting to happen.
All right. So I wanted to make a game for this segment with top 10 something or other from NFL quarterbacks in week one. And it could have been passing completion or QBR or just in general most yards. But I was looking through the stats on ESPN and something just didn't seem right.
Okay.
Matthew Stafford was not on any of the lists. None. Not touchdowns. And that's a pretty easy one. He had three. So was the Rams.
By the way, just to point out, he had the highest quarterback rating of his career.
So, yeah, exactly. And he is not on the ESPN site at all. So what I'm asking you, Mason, is was it all a dream? Did it not actually happen? Did we miss
something? No, it actually did happen. He had the highest quarterback rating of his entire career. He was spectacular. He had as many 50-yard passes in that game, completed passes, as we had all of last year. And the fact is we were also able to run the football with Darrell Henderson. That made all the difference, especially late in that game. Face it. We were protecting. At that point, we had a 20-point lead. We're not trying to score anymore. We're just trying to eat up clock. So that's one of the reasons why Matthew Stafford's numbers didn't pop, I guess, the way. What is the measurement here?
No, it's not on there. Go to ESPN.com/NFL/stats, and he's not there. Go to any quarterback. He is not on the list, period.
You're just trying to get some, like, copy editor fired or something.
No, I'm not
probably
trying to get
mistake.
Anybody.
Oh, so you're saying they accidentally left him off?
He's just not there. I'm looking at it right now. I refreshed it, too. He's still not on the list.
I'll send a note to someone at the website.
So you're basically calling out ESPN
no,
saying,
I mean,
hey,
way to go.
Stafford.
I'm sorry. It's just, I thought it was kind
can we get
silly.
Lindsay Baseball back here to do these questions?
That's a rough call there, Bergman.
Well, no, I mean, they should know. So thank you, Momo, for telling them because I wanted to make a game.
I'm not really going to do it. I'm not really.
Oh.
He should be. I'll tell you what. Where would you put him? I would put him. I would put him in the top three for sure.
Well, no, but it goes by, like, if you click on completions, attempts, completion percentage,
Mace,
yards.
I love so much that you're taking this very seriously, and Greg just caught, like, he's like a little Twitter grammar
Twitter
editor.
Troll. Yeah.
He's like a little Twitter troll right now. He's like, hey, did you know that you misspelled this guy's name in the
because
story?
I wanted to make a game, but I was like, wait, where's Stafford? And I'm, like, looking up and down, and he's just not there.
That's a huge mistake. I'm sure it will be corrected very soon.
All right, fine. So, Momo, maybe not the best idea for me. Fine. But when did Flaming Hot Cheetos become so popular? First, there was a Flaming Hot Cheeto movie with Eva Longoria. Then a Flaming
there was?
Yes. Well, they're making it. They're making a Flaming Hot Cheeto movie with Eva Longoria.
Oh,
look it up.
God.
Look it up. It's real.
Okay.
Then there's a Flaming Hot Cheeto flavored Mountain Dew. Look it up. It's absolutely Yuck. Real. I saw them as a garnish on a sushi roll place that I go to.
I can
Very
see that.
Very weird. Now there's a TikTok that. Trend of putting them into your salad. Where
that
do you
land? Sounds really good.
No, no. Where yeah. do you land on Flaming Hot Cheetos as the new go-to garnish?
I understand where it comes from. I sort of am a fan of frou-frou juices that have cayenne pepper in it.
Oh, geez.
You know, I'm like, I go there and I get the shot of the lemon juice and cayenne and maple syrup, or like some, give me some turmeric or something. It's totally
Who
pseudoscience. I know. I reveal things
what
about
were
myself
on
this.
What that the word turmeric would be mentioned on the show today? That is so snooty. You're so snooty, Momo.
Go to the, you know, the press juicery, and I was like, did you have anything with that cayenne pepper in there? So I think it's the same concept of something really spicy. Like, one of my favorite drinks right now is I get this watermelon juice, and it has cayenne pepper and lemon in it. Sounds gross. Really good. So, yeah, I get it. Kind of same concept, Flaming Hot Cheetos, except definitely not as healthy.
Yeah, I'm all about the Flaming Hot Cheeto. The idea of putting them in a salad, it's smart. It's like spicy croutons that you're putting in the
yeah,
salad.
Exactly
that makes perfect
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
Now, the Mountain Dew thing, I don't think
Yuck.
I'm in on that. But I am in on putting them on all kinds of food. That makes perfect sense to me. So, yeah, I'm all in on this. I understand it.
I sent you guys a picture of this elote. This is what they sell out on the streets. Like, I've had several of
yeah.
these. And then they use it as a condiment everywhere now.
Nice.
Everywhere. You can put it on fruit. You can put it. I put it on, I know, watermelon when I dice it up or whatever.
It like kind of burns your throat as it's going
it's
down.
It's kind of like that. Nah. It's like a spicy version of that tahine thing.
Exactly.
That they use.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Nice. I yeah, like yeah, that, man. I like that.
That's it.
Is that
all right.
All right. So I want to let everybody know, according to QBR, Matthew Stafford was number 3 in week 1. Matthew Stafford was number 1 in quarterback rating, traditional quarterback rating.
Do you actually want me to send a note? I will send a note. Somebody, like, something's messed up on our site.
Here's his passing rating. 156.1. Russell Wilson is next at 152.3. The rest of the top 10, Mahomes, Jameis Winston, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Garoppolo, Kyler Murray, Taylor Heineke, wow, and Teddy Bridgewater. That's your top 10 in passer rating. And again, Matthew Stafford, number 1. All right, coming up next for you, a very good sign
Ooh.
That I identified for the Dodgers the last couple of nights. That is coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.